Gorgeous Lives, a series on RadioGorgeous.com. Virginia Nicholson is a historian of women in the 20th century. She delves into each decade, telling the stories of unheard women. Her first book, Singled Out, told the stories of women who became spinsters after the First World War. Her second book, Millions Like Us, we heard about the stoical women of World War II. But today, we're talking about perfect wives in ideal homes, the story of women of the 1950s. We think of the 50s as the perfect housewives with a formica kitchen and frilly apron. But can you tell us about the secret lives of women? Because abortion wasn't legal, there were many adoptions, and prostitution was on the rise.
Gosh, where to begin? Yeah. Okay.
You don't have to do it all, but you can just tell us maybe one story that comes into your mind.
Well, I did have a very interesting time looking into the facts around prostitution. It was a subject I haven't covered in my previous books. And I just got very intrigued by the prevalence of prostitution. If you walk around London today, you don't expect to see hookers on the streets.
Can't see any. There's no evidence.
There's no evidence.
And I remember when there was, you know.
It's there. Obviously, it's there. Yeah. We know who it's there. Yeah. We know how many women, particularly trafficked women, are exploited.
Yes. Well, they're locked away, obviously.
Looking back 50, 60 years to the 1950s, if I walk around the London streets now, I try to imagine in my head what it was like then. The women were two or three deep on the pavements in parts of London, in Soho, in Mayfair, around the railway stations, in parts of the East End. Anyone who's watched Call the Midwife would probably have seen parts of this because there are stories to do with the East End prostitutes. But also the classier areas of London.
Yeah, Shepherd's Market.
And they were very much graded. So you would get the really smart women in Shepherd's Market, and they would be pricey, maybe, you know, £3 to £5 a throw. Maybe throw is not the right word.
A go.
That's a bit better, isn't it? I looked quite carefully to see whether I could find any first-hand accounts, and I found two memoirs by prostitutes. One was by a French woman who had married a Brit and come over here, and she'd worked for the notorious Messina gang, who were Maltese pimps. And she told in quite a lot of detail about how she had been, how much she'd earned, the working conditions, the maids who they had working for them, who throw the man out and tell him to get his trousers on because there's somebody else coming in the door.
It was all very quick, wasn't it?
Yes, there were time limits. And the Messina brothers imposed, I think it was an 11-minute time limit. You had to have it all over and done with in 11 minutes. Otherwise, the woman herself got punished. She might be beaten with wire flex or have her pay docked. Absolutely extraordinary. So that was one account I found. The other account was in the rare books section of the British Library, where you have to sort of, you know, sign special declarations when you go in. And it was an anonymous account by a prostitute. And I found it intriguing because it absolutely spoke of reality. It was clearly written by somebody who knew exactly what had happened and what it was like. But it was written to such a high literary level that I was slightly suspicious. And I thought, this woman is very educated. What was she doing on the game? So I was very intrigued by that, but there's no answer to it. It could have been ghosted. No, and my suspicion is it probably was.
But there were educated women because they'd fallen on hard times, they'd divorced, they'd been abused.
You know, it's quite possible. I mean, we'll never know. But it was a fascinating account, and I lifted a few bits for it and quoted them in the book.
Why do you think it was more prevalent in the 50s, prostitution? Why was it peaking then?
Well, I don't think it's easy to put a figure on it. I don't think it was higher then than it was in the war. It's just the wartime circumstances were different, and the kind of, I mean, quite possibly the figures were higher in the 40s, particularly because of the amount of GIs in this country, the amount of American soldiers.
Needed to be serviced,
and, you know, and they say an army marches on its stomach, but I'm not sure that's the right part of its anatomy that one should be referring to.
Gorgeous Lives, a series on RadioGorgeous.com.
There was also this sense that London was lighting up again, that it was becoming rather sort of both glamorous and sleazy at the same time. Yeah. The lights had come back after the blackout. Mm. There was this sense of fast cars and kind of suave James Bond types looking for fun, a lot more money around, a lot more guys looking for places to spend it.
Yeah.
So the clubs, the hostesses. There's the terrible, perhaps over well-known story, but I had to put it in, of Ruth Ellis, who mm-hmm. was the last woman in this country to be hanged after she murdered her client slash boyfriend. I mean, it was fine line between prostitute and hostess, and mm-hmm. we're never quite sure which side of it Ruth Ellis fell.
But she was very glamorous, and that's one of the things you wanted to point out in the book, that it was like women were aspiring to be glamorous then, weren't they?
Yes, and Ruth Ellis, you know, with a little touch more imagination, it was really a Marilyn Monroe lookalike. Very, very gorgeous, who one day woke up and decided to dye her hair platinum blonde. And in a sense, her awful punishment was a sort of punishment for being a woman who wanted to make her own decisions about how she led her life, and who, you know, the jury and the prosecutors took one look at her and basically made up their minds that she was cheap, she was what was called a good time girl, and respectability demanded that she should be punished. I mean, I think it's a horrible story, and it did, although it's been brilliantly told a number of times, quite recently in a wonderful book called A Fine Day for a Hanging. But the story did demand to be retold because it was so indicative of life in the 50s.
Yeah, because that's what I think of. I think of sort of Jaguars, men in trilbies, women in tight sweaters. That sort of
spivs, you know, there was a very David Blakely, her victim, who she did kill, and she totally admitted to having shot at close range. It's a very fine line between him and James Bond. You know, he was a fast car and a blonde man. He was obsessive about, you know, clubs and looking cool.
Yeah,
and
you think about all the people then. Diana Dawes was really in those sort of people. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it was really fascinating time.
Yes.
Really interesting.
No, there's a lot more to the 50s than how we look at it. I think we tend to dismiss it as this rather sort of grey, anonymous era when not really a whole lot happened. But the more I delved, the deeper it became, the more fascinating.
Well, Virginia, thank you so much for coming into Radio Gorgeous.
Thank you very much. Thank you. It's been a pleasure.
Perfect Wives in Ideal Homes is published by Penguin Viking.
Never know how much I love you. Never know how much I care. When you put your arms around me, I get a fever that's so hard to bear. You give me fever. When you kiss me, fever, when you hold me tight. Fever in the morning, a fever all through the night. Sun lights up the daytime, moon lights up the night. I light up when you call my name, and you know I'm gonna treat you right. You give me fever. When you kiss me, fever, when you hold me tight. Fever in the morning, a fever all through the night. Everybody's got the fever, that is something you all know. Fever isn't Such a new thing, fever started long ago. Romeo loved Juliet, Juliet she felt the same. When he put his arms around her, he said, Julie, baby, you're my flame. Thou givest fever when we kiss it, fever with thy flaming youth. Fever, I'm a fire, fever, yea, I burn forsooth.
My weekday fix? Darling, it has to be Radio Gorgeous.